the Lord help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 510. 510. O Lord, rebuke me not in wrath. Thine anger who can bear? 'Tis heaven to live beneath thy smiles, thy frowns create despair. Hymn 510.
Thank you.
just read for our instruction from the Word of God out of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 4. Jeremiah, the fourth chapter. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defenced cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not. For I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place, to make thy land desolate. And thy cities shall be laid waste, without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl. For the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse, even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as the whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field, are they against her round about? Because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou has heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate. Yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets, and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee, for they seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. O gracious Lord, in thy mercy, look down unto us. O Lord, help us now to come even to that mercy seat, to that sprinkling of blood. We would come, Lord, unto Jesus. We would humbly ask that we might yet obtain favor and receive grace, that we might now, Lord, be helped to come near to God. Oh, but we are warned in thy word that in coming there is the need be for laying aside every weight, to turn from our own ways. Lord, wilt thou give us that grace that we may really turn, that we may know what it is to be so turned, so that we may come unto Jesus. We would come, Lord, with hands emptied. We would come with hearts broken. We would come with souls needy. We would come in hope that we too might yet obtain favor and that we might also be heard of thee. O Lord, let thy mercies come unto us, even thy salvation according to thy word. And we pray, Lord, that here tonight thy word may have a good effect in our midst. The portion that we have read, oh, what a portion it is. May it be something that will abide and remain. May there be something in it, Lord, which shall speak unto us. May it be a word which shall now also be recorded by the Spirit in our hearts. And may it be a word that will produce something of that humbleness and lowliness before thee. Oh, do we pray that thou wilt remember us now. And we too, Lord, would come and saying, with thy servant who wrote of thy people, we are weary of the murderers. And Lord, thou knowest those here this evening who understand that and who can say in truth before thee that they are weary of the murderers who have murdered their own soul. Oh Lord, what have we done? Oh, we have proved that word true. Spoken to Ephraim of old, thou hast destroyed thyself. Oh, but may we find as he did, that in thee our fruit is yet found. Oh, then come, Lord, even now, draw nigh. Oh, may there be that opening of truth this evening, the opening of our hearts to receive it, the entrance of thy word that giveth light. It giveth grace to the simple. Oh, it instructeth them who are far off. Oh, we pray, Lord, that it might be that many souls here may receive the sacred instruction of the Word of God, whether they be young or old. And we hope, Lord, that amongst our youth, our young friends, they in their particular path, in their need, in the things that they are troubled with, may likewise find something of thy Word now also applied unto them. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless and help, Lord, each one then to come near and to call upon thy name. Oh, Lord, do grant that there might be even tonight that little help that thou dost give. That little blessing. Oh, Lord, we are told in thy word that though the beginnings be small, yet the latter end shall greatly increase. And Lord, we would humbly pray that we might know what it is to receive a measure of that grace, the fear of God, that what by it we may be enabled to shun the world and its snares, that we might be enabled, Lord, to overcome the enemy and all his temptations, that we might be able yet to tread upon the flesh. Oh, that thou wilt bless us then. But whether we be young or old, Lord, here tonight, thou knowest each heart. Thou knowest each soul. And those, Lord, who do sigh and groan and mourn before thee. Thou knowest such, Lord, who are afraid, filled with fear. Who fear, Lord, the unknown why. Who fear lest they should be left behind. They should be found wanting at last. Oh, that thou wilt have mercy upon them. And be mindful, Lord, and bless thy word unto their soul. Speak, Lord, that they might hear it. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that there might be also the turning of their captivity and the reviving of them. Oh, Lord, do remember yet such this evening who have burdens, concerns. And thou knowest, Lord, the concerns that there may be. Whether it be, Lord, over things providentially, things in their path. Whether it be, Lord, over troubles they have, sorrows. Or whether it be, Lord, because of the power of the enemy. Thou knowest such who are full of fear in that. O Lord, we pray that thou would remember them. May they too yet prove that the Lord understands, that the Lord is perfect in knowledge. Lord, draw near unto them then. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou would remember those who in their very soul are very anxious about their eternal state, that they might know that it will be well with them, that they might know that their sin is all forgiven, that they might know what it is to be clothed upon with that wedding garment, that they shall be found at thy right hand, that they shall hear that voice, "Come in, thou beloved." O Lord, we pray that thou wilt look upon those souls this evening who are very anxious in that way, and bless them. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, those that's not tonight who have heavy hearts. And they feel, Lord, so many things against them. And they wonder, Lord, how they shall ever come through. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear and show that there is help laid upon one that is mighty. And thou, O God, art the helper of the helpless. Oh, bless thy word tonight. Direct it, Lord. May it be an arrow that shall enter into the heart, that it may, Lord, produce that good effect, that it may bring that wound that thou alone canst heal. Oh, Lord, bless it then. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet remember all that thou hast promised unto thy people, thy church. And we hope, Lord, that here tonight the Lord himself may be pleased to draw near, that the Lord may come and gather up the lambs, drawing forth the sheep, and that the Lord may see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. O Lord, bless then us each here. Leave us not to ourselves. Leave us not, Lord, unto the devices of ourselves. But, O, help us that we might seek such grace, that we may yet escape, as one of old said, by the skin of our teeth. O Lord, what a narrow escape it will be. But we hope, Lord, it may be for us. We come, Lord, and ask that thou wilt yet undertake in all matters, every concern. And we would, Lord, cast everything upon thee. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet be very gracious. And visit us, Lord, and make us glad. Oh, may that day come when we shall laugh again. We might rejoice. We would take courage. We will be able to say the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Oh, this, Lord, we pray for. And we would pray for all thy dear people, the causes who gather. And thou knowest, Lord, their needs. Oh, that thou wilt visit them. Bless those, Lord, who have already finished their services this day. May there be that which abides and remains and lingers. Those, Lord, who are in the midst of services. Oh, wilt thou remember them. And do, Lord, also remember Zion in all her need. Oh, that there might be yet the need be for laborers to be sent forth. Lord, what an encouragement it would be. What a token, what a sign that there is yet souls to be called. There's a souls to be established and built up. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear us in this and do it for thy name's sake. And we would pray, Lord, that thou wilt give unto thy people that grace to cast their care upon thee. Oh, remember still our nation too. Oh, what a day we are in, when evil is promoted as good. Lord, we feel sadness of heart. We grieve over what today is taking place. And we are being left to our own demise. What can we say? Oh, Lord, have mercy yet. Pardon sins. Turn us. Oh, may there be yet the going forth of thy word. It is our only hope, Lord. We would ask that thou wilt yet arise and work mightily. And now, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt kindly forgive our sins, wash us in thy precious blood, accept our thank offerings. We would be thankful for kind mercies, provisions, for the privileges that we enjoy. We thank thee, Lord, for our daily food, for the warmth that we have from the cold. We thank thee for many such blessings. But above all, for that gift of love, the gift of thy Son, and all the promises in him, and the hope that sinners may have there. Oh, accept us now. We ask in his name. Amen. Let us now continue by singing hymn number 905. 905. My heart by nature is a stone, and unconcerned can look upon eternal misery. Feels no affection for the Lord, takes no impression from his word, but lumpish is and dry. Hymn 905.
Thank you.
us gracious help, whatever your thoughts this evening are, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm reading there verse 16. The 10th chapter of Deuteronomy in the 16th verse. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. We finished this morning considering the sign that was given to Abraham, that sign of circumcision, a sign that was very special. But what is so sad, a sign that is so misused, misinterpreted, misunderstood. There are those who would say that Abraham was not perfected until he was circumcised. Remember the word of the Lord was, walk before me and be thou perfect. What a sad thing when men bring that application to it. Little do they consider what they're really doing to make such a statement that Abraham was not, could not be perfected until he was circumcised. What is it to say that? It's to elevate the flesh. It's to set forth works as the medium for perfection. This can never be. Oh, that we might have a real godly understanding of all the teaching of the Lord in it. And be sure, dear friend, the Word of God has much to say about circumcision. In the right application of it. And may God help us this evening to look into that. To, as it were, investigate the matter. Search it out. For in searching out this very truth, I believe, dear friend, there will be an establishing of souls then in the truth of God. We do need to be established in the whole of God's word. But we do need grace to understand it. We do need that light of the Holy Ghost upon us. A light that will shine out of the Word of God into our heart and soul. Oh, that there might be tonight a little of that. May God grant us such a help. See, the circumcision that Abraham had there, it was of the flesh. And it was only of use to the Jews. It's all it was for, of use to them. But it is of a use to the whole church of God when it's understood in the divine application of it. Oh, that we might have such a clear understanding of that knowledge of circumcision in the way that the Lord, by His blessed Spirit, would set it forth. When we consider this circumcision in that way, there are numerous scriptures, and I will be referring to many of them this evening. Oh, dear friend, it would be a good thing to you for you to remember them. This is indeed a time when it would be good to have pen and paper to write down such truths. The Word of God, as it were, supporting and clarifying itself on such a matter as this point of circumcision. Oh, when we think of the circumcision that the Spirit of God would have us to understand. Remember, first of all, what Paul wrote to the Galatians. For in Christ Jesus, now listen, in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. Oh, a great truth that, an important point. Dear friend, whatever we do, by way of searching God's word, let us come to this, the faith that's needed, that God-given faith, that we might see and believe the word of God. Here the apostle then labors with these Galatians. You remember these Galatians, dear friend, they had received the word of God in a wonderful way. Oh, they had been turned to follow. But it wasn't long after that the Judaizing teachers came in and they began to set before them that they could not be saved except they were circumcised. It was indeed a dreadful teaching, an erroneous teaching, and it brought them into snares. And they began to turn to works. The apostle had to question them. Ye began well. Who hath hindered you that ye shall not obey the gospel? Oh, even how many there are that are hindered in it and do not obey the gospel. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but faith which worketh by love. The apostle goes on to warn these at Galatia that this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It doesn't come from Christ. It isn't from heaven. And oh, different, whatever's not from him is not worthy to be followed. Oh, that we could feel that and see it and believe it. The apostle speaks further about this teaching, a little leaven. Leaveneth the whole lump. It destroyeth the whole. Oh, that we might heed closely, dear friend, the word of God in this evening. The word of God is so clear. Again, in the 6th chapter, the apostle again writes, regarding this great truth, unto these at Galatia, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Oh, there's that same element today that works in many a place. Oh, different, we pray God it may not be found amongst us, that we might truly have a clear understanding. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Only lest, see the reason why. Why is it that they are so, shall we say, determined to have you not come to this knowledge, the apostle says, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Oh, different, they would endeavor to escape that persecution. For Paul says, neither they that are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the only place that the apostle would seek to glory. It's the only place that we ought to seek to glory, in that cross. Oh, this circumcision. When Paul was writing to the church at Rome, same truth, same conflict, if you will, was found amongst them. Paul writes in the 2nd chapter there, for circumcision verily profiteth. Now, dear friend, listen. If thou keep the whole law, then it's profitable. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Oh, what a curse it brings, not a blessing. What a sentence of death it will impart, and no life. Oh, this is the teaching of the Word of God. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision by the keeping of the law? And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Oh, the apostle's argument is so strong and clear. Oh, this is the word that the apostle now comes to speak unto them. A little bit later in that epistle, in the fourth chapter, and it's not just the fourth chapter, it will go right through different, and we'll come back to some thoughts perhaps a little bit later on regarding this point of the circumcision of the flesh that Paul now is so concerned should be cleared up. But in the fourth chapter he speaks again, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? What a question it is. When Abraham received the blessing of righteousness, in what state was he? And the apostle doesn't leave us to our own thoughts on that. For he tells us very clearly that it was when he was in the uncircumcised state. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Oh, I say different, coming back to that word this morning, the great blessing that was pronounced upon Abraham as the father of the multitudes of them that believe and are delivered from these snares, these pitfalls that are so prevailing. Oh, that the Lord might help us then to consider ourselves in the great truths which we have here set before us. But then, in the 1st of Corinthians, once again, to that church, the apostle has this to say regarding the circumcised state of men. In the 18th verse of the 7th chapter, is any man called being uncircumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Oh, the clear stating of God's word. Cutting across all this, which is of the flesh. Again, he writes to them, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandment of God. See how the Apostle Paul, whether he's writing to Rome, Corinth, Galatia, Colossae, every one of them, he deals with this issue. You can see it even how it had such a prevalent hold in the New Testament church. By the Judaism teachers, it has a present hold still today. Oh, that we might have a right understanding and perceive something here of this truth. When Paul was in the ministry of the word, as we have it set before us in the Acts of the Apostles, we are told that certain men had come from Judea and taught the brethren, saying, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Oh, this is subtle, and it's dangerous, and it's false. May the Lord help us to rightly see and understand this great matter. We read a little bit further on in that chapter, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Oh, different, it would bring men back into darkness, into bondage. It would take away from the blessed effect of grace, the freeness of the gospel. It brings bondage upon souls. Oh, this was the great conflict now that the apostle struggled with. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Now this charge and this command, we read it here in this 10th chapter of Deuteronomy. And as we read it, we would think, but the Lord, by this declaration, seems, as it were, to make it the responsibility of any sinner to circumcise the foreskin of their heart. Can it be done? Have they that ability to do so? What were you just singing? Some tell me I must change my heart, said the hymn writer, Mr. Berridge, and undertake the Savior's part, a proud and fruitless strife. I might as soon the seasons change, or make the clouds in order range, or raise the dead to life. Then what does it mean? Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your hearts, and be no more stiff-necked. You know that word stiff-necked, different, it comes again and again in the Word of God. The Lord speaks of His people as a stiff-necked people. He said unto Moses that He was going to destroy them because they were stiff-necked, rebellious. When Stephen gave his lecture unto these Jewish high priests and the whole of the Sanhedrin there in Acts chapter 7, he comes to the end of it. Ye stiff-necked and rebellious people, do ye always harden your heart and resist the Holy Ghost? Stiff-necked. But how many of us here tonight can bow under that? How many of us have reason to say, Lord, I am so. Oh, deliver me from this awful curse, this solemn state of the fall. Oh, that Thou wilt make me humble, lowly, meek before Thee. Now the Lord's answer, dear friend, here in this chapter. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear God, thy God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Now the Lord there makes it known, this is what He requires of His people. Circumcise, therefore. In order for us to truly hear that word and obey it, there must be the circumcising of the heart, the foreskin thereof, and the removing of our stiff-necked ways. Well, what must we say then of this matter? First of all, dear friend, there must be the nature of this circumcision that we understand, the nature of it. We might consider it in this way. It is an internal work and not external. The circumcision that Abraham knew was an external work. It was done outwardly. And it was done by men, themselves or others. But the internal work, this must be done by the hand of the mighty God, by the Spirit of God. Oh, what a great work it is when it's done in such a way, internally. In the 30th chapter of this book of Deuteronomy, Moses there speaks of it again. In this way, the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. And what will be the result of that? What will be the effect of it? What will be the evidence that the Lord God has circumcised thine heart and the heart of thy seed? To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. The very thing that he requires of them in chapter 10 there that we note. The Lord will cause thee to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Oh, here then, dear friend, we have the answer to this work being done, an internal work, a work that will take place in the heart of these souls. Oh, circumcise thine heart. That work of God in doing so, dear friend, he comes with such a power. Well, you say, what is it? It's the new birth. It's that work when it's begun. Oh, how vital it is. Oh, dear friend, don't weary of hearing of it. But pray that the Lord may make it known, that he may show unto you something of that new birth, that you might know the gracious effect of it, to prove something now of that work, that new birth working within your heart and soul. Oh, when the heart is brightly taught of God in this way, then that soul may enter in to the Word of God and into the courts of God. My mind just goes, and I'm going to tell you, different. I came to this verse actually by reading out of Ezekiel a few days ago, reading here in this 44th chapter of Ezekiel, a most solemn word, where the Lord reproves his people. And this, in that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart. Doesn't say uncircumcised so much in their flesh, although that's found here. Uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh to be in my sanctuary. You remember, under the Old Testament ceremonial law, any uncircumcised one was not allowed to come into the tabernacle, into the temple. A sign, a witness that God required a heart that was upright. They must be circumcised in the flesh. But he went beyond that. The old Jews, you know, as long as they knew somebody was circumcised in the flesh, they would let them come in. But God says, no, I will not let them in if they're uncircumcised in heart. The Lord looks at the heart. He knows each heart. Oh, different, what can you and I say regarding that tonight? Have we some knowledge of what we are in our hearts? The hymn writer, Mr. Watts, put it so beautifully. Here on my heart the burden lies, and past offenses pain my eye. That's a heart that's been circumcised. That heart has been cut up. Oh, have we something of that language in the felt sense of it? I think it is something different that will be known very early. But I want to be clear on this point. It's not just that we know it's something early, but there will be a deepening of that truth in the heart. Whatever we might have understood and perceived of in the beginnings, that will be, shall we say, but slight compared to as the Lord leads on and opens up and unfolds more to us of what is really within us. The deceitful nature. Oh, we will have to prove that we are so vile from head to foot, or as we were singing even now in that opening hymn this evening hour, 510. But once again, Mr. Herbert speaks in these words, "Ah, must I die with this sad plague? What is thy pity gone? Lord, look and heal my broken bones. Oh, look on God the Son. Lord, let not guilt thus plague my soul. I would be rid of sin. From head to foot, I'm not but wounds, but ah, I'm worse within. Within, oh, what a hellish crew. Who knows what dwells within? How oft some darling lust creeps out, some unsuspected sin." Oh, the Lord says then in this chapter, "In that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers." Strangers to this work of grace. Strangers to the truth of God here. Oh, dear friend, are there strangers here tonight? Tonight. Strangers, you don't know this work. You don't know something of the dealings of God in this way. You don't know what it is to have your heart laid bare and exposed. To have your heart, as it were, so opened in the light of God to shine in. It's all part of the circumcising of the heart. That great work of cutting away the flesh that here is so necessary, so required. The soul bemoaning itself in its miserable state. That one who cries out before God. That one who knows something now of a broken spirit. That's a heart that is being circumcised by Almighty God, by the work of the Spirit that's entered in. Oh, to have a heart that's truly broken and made contrite before the Lord. Oh, to know something now of being turned. When the prodigal son came to himself, and what a coming that was. What an unfolding of his state and an opening of it. What shame filled his heart as he returns to the Father. With no words of good, but this, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy," oh, defend to come there. "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst look upon me." That is a heart circumcised by Almighty God. This is the soul that the Lord now will bless. Oh, circumcise your hearts, therefore. Ye stiff-necked, circumcise them. But now let's consider, secondly, the extent of this circumcision. What is it? Well, dear friend, we could put it this way. It's a stripping of the body. What are we to understand by that? A stripping of the body. Well, here indeed is something exceeding deep and profound, really. And yet, when the Lord begins to do it, Lord, if in that it will be made manifest, it will be known then upon such souls when He truly strips them. First of all, when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, and I told you that every one of the churches, he writes in this way, something of this truth unto them. But in the fourth chapter of the Ephesians, we find that Paul is writing unto them that ye put off. Now you might not think, well, this has not anything to do with circumcision, but it does. It's the work of circumcision of the heart, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Different. That's the body being put off. That's the circumcising of it. Put off the conversation of the old man. We all know what that is. Even our little friend, younger friends, you know what that is. It's the daily conversation. It's what we're so accustomed to. It's all that we can do. It's all that we really know. The conversation of the flesh. Have we ever put it off? And I ask tonight, dear friend, doesn't matter who you are, what your state is, what your thoughts, your particular beliefs, I ask, do you know what it's been to put off the conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts? All the conversation that we speak, dear friend, it springs out of the lusts of the flesh. And that must be circumcised. The apostle goes on to speak there, and be renewed. Here's that work of circumcision again. The renewing. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Oh, this is something of that work of circumcision. This is something of the extent of it now. See how it comes unto us and cuts across so much of our daily lives. In the Epistle to the Colossians, again the Apostle speaks in the third chapter there, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. Mortify. That word mortify is on par with that word of crucifying. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Here, dear friend, is a work of circumcision of the heart. Putting off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. See, that comes again, just as it had done in the epistle to the Ephesians. Seeing ye put off the old man with his deeds. Oh, this is that great work of circumcision of the heart. The apostle here is so earnest that these things should be known amongst the churches, should be experienced. And then in that same epistle, the second chapter, the apostle speaks, in whom? That is in Christ. In whom? Now in verse 10 it said, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised. What a word. Not by whom, but in whom ye are circumcised. With the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. By the receiving of Christ. By the precious believing on Christ. Oh, this is the circumcision of the heart. This is a vital thing. Oh, that the Lord may give us to understand what He is speaking here in these words. And I come back now to Romans. Well, we find it written in the 6th chapter of that book, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh, this is circumcision of the heart. But oh, how little do we know. The mighty work of this. But dear friend, the fact that we don't know it should not in any way cause us not to talk of it. Not to search it out and examine ourselves where we come and where we stand in this great matter. Here, the Lord makes known to us then something of this great work of circumcision. But in the 7th chapter, the apostle himself speaks of it for what he experienced in it. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. What was that word in the text this evening? Circumcise therefore your hearts. Ye stiff-necked. How to perform that which is good, I know not. Now then, if it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For the good that I would not, that I do, and the evil which I would not, that I do, and the good that I would that I do not, I find in a law within my members. And what a law. Ah, but to come to that law of God, a law of grace, a law of blessing. Then the apostle could say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Oh, this is that circumcision of the heart. May the Lord give us to see something now of the extent of it. All these works of the flesh, and you know in the epistle to the Galatians again, the apostle goes on to speak, for the works of the flesh are these: murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, uncleanness, and goes a whole list of them. Oh, that we might be circumcised in heart from all that, delivered from the fulfilling of them, to walk in righteousness and holiness before the Lord. Lord, if there's a number of things come to my mind I must leave off. I come to consider lastly that great point, the medium of this circumcision, or the author of it. The author of it. Blessed be God. That author is not Moses, and it's not Abraham, and it's not the writings of any man. The author of this great work of circumcising of the heart is God and the Holy Ghost. He who effects it on poor sinners, performs it for them. Again, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the third chapter of the first epistle, he addresses them in this way. Excuse me, the second epistle it is. And he speaks, writes there. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. The work of circumcision. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, this precious change, this vital change. We all need it. We cannot enter heaven without it. We cannot come near to God without that change. It is a change that He Himself works in the heart of poor sinners. Paul, writing to the Philippians, in the third chapter there, he puts it in this way. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, defend to circumcise the heart. When Paul finished up in the second of Romans, he brought before them this truth. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now we read this evening in that prophecy of Jeremiah, the fourth chapter, a chapter that's so full of the solemn state of the Jews of old, but of ourselves also. Ah, here we find that word given, circumcise therefore yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Now, dear friend, there is that ultimate warning that the Lord speaks against all those who will be without this circumcision of heart. Oh, dear friend, what a matter for us to consider personally. Don't take it for granted. Don't presume. Don't think that because you have some understanding that your heart has been circumcised different. Are there the effects? Are there those manifestations of His grace? Is the old man being subdued and brought low? Have we really something of that great effect of grace in the soul? When Paul wrote to the Galatians again, he speaks that the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Well, that's a man whose heart was fully circumcised. And he was living now upon the Son of God. He was living in the Son of God. The Son of God was his life. He was everything to him. His heart had been circumcised. Circumcise yourselves in the Lord, to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart. Well, what about the foreskins? The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. Sinful pleasures. Oh, but they go more than that. What a foreskin is unbelief. What a foreskin is self-righteousness. What a foreskin is that name to live while dead. Oh, what we could go on referring to, speaking of the foreskin of the heart. These most sad, solemn, sinful things that need to be cut off. Cut away. May God in His Spirit, by His Spirit, be pleased to come upon each one and work this most blessed work upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's continue by singing hymn number 1024. 1024. Indeed, if our heart has truly been circumcised in the way that we have spoken this evening, we will come into the prayer of this hymn. Oh, for a heart to praise the Lord, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. A humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true and clean, which neither life nor death can part from Him that dwells within. Hymn 1024. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon thy word, forgiving all that thou hast seen amiss, all that we have failed in speaking. Oh, but Lord, do add unto that word in many hearts. And now we pray that thou wilt take us each to our homes in peace. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us. Amen.